Welcome to Spiritual Shit You Need to Know, a lifestyle podcast for millennial women, light workers, and spiritual badasses who are waking up, ready to tap into their powers and own it like a true boss. I'm Regis Cowan, spiritual entrepreneur and life coach, and my passion is helping women like you get out of your own way and step your mindset game up. Are you a spiritual woman who's questioning her life, wanting more meaning and purpose, and you're ready to live your most amazing life? Then this is the place for you. Your time is now. Let's get to it. Are you ready to break through your blocks and get clear on how you need to show up to make money with your purpose? Enlighten is my one-on-one mini-intensive session where we will go deep to get to the root of what's holding you back from being the best version of yourself, get clear on your spiritual gifts, and create a plan of action that will get you results. For more details and to apply for a session, go to bit.ly/enlightenmenow. Welcome to another episode of Spiritual Shit You Need to Know, the podcast. Today's episode is all about feng shui. So I'm going to be talking to my special guest, Patricia Lohan. She has been a feng shui specialist for over 21 years. That's a tongue twister. And she's going to be talking to us about what exactly feng shui is, how it works, and what you can do to use it in your daily lives. Let's welcome Patricia to the show. Hey, Patricia, welcome to the podcast. How are you doing today?
Hey, I'm doing great. I'm excited about chatting to you today.
Thank you so much. So glad to have you on the show. We're going to be talking about feng shui since I know that's your specialty. So I'm excited to get started and to dive into this topic. So let's start with, you know, you give us a little bit of background, kind of about you and your journey, how you got into feng shui. Mm-hmm. And then tell us a little bit about what exactly feng shui is, because a lot of people don't know.
They don't know, is right. Well, my journey with feng shui started when I was 15 years old. So I've been into this stuff for a while. Mm-hmm. And I think that obviously when we're in the holistic path, we can be a bit of a black sheep. Yes. But I was definitely a black sheep as a teenager as well. My whole life, kind of doing things a little bit differently. And we had moved house many times growing up. And when I was 15, we moved into a new house that was supposed to be our forever home, and I got to have my own bedroom for the first time, so I wasn't going to be sharing with my sisters, and I was being given full rein to decorate it, and for some reason, I have no idea how or where, but I came across feng shui, and I asked for books about it, and I got these two books, and I devoured them, and I really was like, this is amazing, oh my god, amazing, amazing, but, you know, it didn't really go much further. You know, I didn't really have my own house again for a while, like I was still only a 15-year-old, So I ended up going down the path of studying business, going to university, going into corporate, and then moving into running a business with my family. So I didn't want to be an entrepreneur, wanted to really, you know, have a job and be a normal person. And then I ended up moving and running a business with my family. And for 7 years, I discovered very near the end that I was actually fulfilling my father's dream and not my own. Going home every Friday night, crying on the couch. It actually became a family joke that was Friday Cry Day. And I didn't know what was wrong. I didn't know why I was crying. I would be asked by my then boyfriend, like, what's wrong? What's wrong? I'm like, I don't know. And I know now it was my soul crying, going, what are you doing? What are you doing to yourself? On the outside, my life looked great. I had a beautiful Seaview apartment. I had a gorgeous a little BMW sports car. I had all the designer clothes. I had a great job. You know, it all just looked great. But on the inside, I was falling apart. And my mum came to visit, or went to visit my sister in Australia. And when she came back, everybody was saying, oh, it must be so sad. She's so far away. Was it hard to leave? Mum was like, it wasn't hard to say goodbye because she is so happy. And she walked in and saw me, and she was like, but Patricia's not happy at all. And we had this kind of, you know, conversation where she's like, I think you need to leave. And I was in my late 20s. I hadn't ever really had a proper job. Like, I'd been running this business, and I'm like, what the hell? And out of nowhere popped out of my mouth, I'm going to India to become a yoga teacher. And everyone was like, what? You're doing what? Now, just to put this into like into kind of, you know, perspective, I went to one yoga class a week. It wasn't like I had been training or I was doing regular classes. It was like one class a week that I just loved. So this was very left of center, but I had started getting into more meditation. I'd been going to see different healers for different types of therapies. And before I went to India, one of the teachers had said, I think you need to learn to do Reiki. And I was like, okay. So I trained in Reiki. So I had a few things kind of unfolding in front of me. And then I ended up headed to India thinking I was going for a month, and a year and a half later, I came back.
Wow.
And on that journey, I really just opened up. My body physically opened up with yoga. My mind, my heart, my soul just opened up to the gifts that I'm so grateful for. I became very intuitive, lots of like psychic kind of gifts, lots of healing gifts. Like people are like, what are you going to do with those magic hands? What are you going to do with this? You know, I learned lots of different modalities. So I was doing kinesiology and Reiki and crystals and sound healing. And I had this huge, like this massive Mary Poppins bag of tools and modalities when I moved back to Ireland. So I started a new practice in Ireland, working with people one-to-one and doing group sessions. And it was a beautiful journey. I loved it. So even the thought of, like, I thought that's what I was going to end up doing. And I did do it for a while. And what happened in what is so true is when the student's ready, the teacher appears. And I finally got my own place. I'd been kind of sleeping in a spare room of a friend's place, and I finally got myself a new apartment. With my holistic business was doing better, and I knew I'd be able to like afford rent and, you know, a proper life, you know.
Yeah.
And I got this space, and I'm like, oh, now I'm ready for love. I really was ready to meet the guy, and I just went to feng shui. I was like, I'm going to do the feng shui. I'm going to sort this place out. Lo and behold, feng shui masters started coming into my life left, right, and center. I called in my husband very quickly. When I went to visit his house, this gets even kind of more crazier. He had built a beautiful house in the countryside, and I went to see to visit, and he brought me around and shows me everyone. And then the bedroom, I'm like, he's feng shui this. And believe it or not, in his 20s, he had studied feng shui and used it. And is a huge fan of working on your external environment as well as your internal world. And this is what really turned me into the focus of this being my primary practice. Because what happened was my clients who were doing amazing work on the internal world, in their internal plane, they were going home to a house that was had a lot of old negative energy, was blocking success. And I would be saying to them in sessions, going, tell me about your bedroom. What's going on in your kitchen? What's happening here? And they would look at me like I had 10 heads. And I'm like, you know, just feel there's something off. Like, they're like, what are you talking about? What is this to do with my trauma? 7 years of age, you know? So it was quite a journey. And that's when, for me, the penny dropped. I wanted to make sure that your physical is supporting you first.
Nice. So going back to you saying that your husband had also been doing feng shui back in his 20s, do you think he was trying to manifest the love of his life back then, or was that something he had just recently started, like focusing on his love life as well?
So what he had done was he actually came to feng shui when he was going through his own personal development journey and his own journey of personal growth. And he just loved the idea of like clearing out the old and making space for the new things in. And in his late 20s, when he did decide that he was ready for love, he set up the environment then. Okay. But he really had came into it from I had set up my place intentionally for love. And that's what and he had also done that. But prior to that, he was really just the advocate for the fact that, you know, we can't underestimate the power of our physical environment, the place that we're living, where we spend 8 to 10 hours every single day. And you know, I have clients who come to me and they're like, we get on so well when we're like outside the house. But the minute we walk in, the kids start fighting, we start fighting, things start going wrong. We feel like we're sabotaged. And I'm like, ah, well, you know, it's not you. It's not your relationship. It's actually the environment, the energy going on in your house.
Yes. I can definitely agree to that. I have had some experiences like that. As soon as we leave the house, everything's good. You come back home and it's back hell again. So yeah, your environment does.
Interesting.
So tell me just a little bit for our listeners, like what exactly is feng shui, or where did it originate? How did that come about?
So feng shui is an ancient practice. It's 5,000 years old. So when I hear people say woo woo, I'm like, what? This is 5,000 years old.
Exactly.
It originated in China. And I like to describe feng shui as acupuncture for your home. Oftentimes feng shui, they think I'm going to tell them, like, move your furniture here, throw everything out, hang some weird frog over there in that corner, and whatever weird trinkets that they want. I'm like, no, this is not what I'm about. I'm very much about the pragmatic approach to the energy of the space, the visible and invisible energy. So just like acupuncture works on the invisible energy, our chi, which we can't see, in bringing the energy around your body so you're healthy and vibrant, it's the exact same principle with feng shui. And I love using the analogy of your house is like a person. It has its own personality, it has its own energy, and it's either attracting what you want or repelling it.
Nice. Yeah, I totally agree. Like you, I started using feng shui when I was probably maybe around the same age, maybe 14, 15. I have tons of a long time ago. My mom is kind of into this stuff too. So she kind of introduced me to it, but I think I took it to a whole nother level when it comes to, you know, metaphysical and holistic modalities.
Mm-hmm.
So I've always kind of been into feng shui too. And people always ask me, like, why are you putting stuff over here and moving it over there? And I'm like, look, the energy over here is not good. This is how we need to arrange this for this. And so I've kind of been into that, you know, for a long time too. So I thought that was interesting that you said that. Cool.
Yeah. I feel like oftentimes we kind of know when we're younger, like what we're meant to do or what we're interested in. And, it takes us a while to get to that point. But when we do, we're like, oh, do you remember my 16-year-old self?
Yeah. Like, I've been interested in this stuff for a long time. So when it comes to, like, for someone who's new, never been interested into feng shui, how is it that your clients kind of find you, or how do they even know that it may be feng shui that's, you know, could potentially make their lives better or fix their problems?
I don't believe in accidents. I believe in total synchronistic things. And that when people really need help, the right help is out, they find it, or it'll come to them. And what happens for me is a lot of clients will find me when they're very stuck in their lives. So something is kind of just not moving forward. They're feeling blocked, and someone will be like, oh, have you heard about this feng shui girl? Or, you know, I feel like they come to me, and I've had people saying, like, I've been going to bed at night praying for a miracle, and then I found you. And I'm like, wow, this is amazing. Thanks. But they come to feng shui from different perspectives. There's some people who, you like me, like you, that have had books for years but never fully knew how to implement it properly in their own home. Mm-hmm. And this is where there's a gap between the books, like the books about feng shui will only bring you to a certain level. And then there's the next level, which is kind of the deeper level in terms of, like, what is the kind of the astrology of your home? Like, we do calculations based on the year the house is built, the position that it's sitting, the compass readings, the floor plan. There's, like, so many different aspects, like the formation of the land. Like, there's a lot of aspects that then dive into telling us what's going on in a home and how to fix it. So there's loads of generic practices out there that people can get started with feng shui. And that's where there's this kind of, like, oh, you mean it's not just about moving the furniture? You know, for me, there's just, like, two main priority positions or things that I like to look at in terms of, like, bedrooms and offices for, like, set up. But then, you know, in our lives, we can, in our homes, we can be kind of restricted in terms of positioning furniture and different things, because oftentimes a bedroom is made and the bed is to go in this one area.
Right.
So I'm all about, like, using what you've got. You know, there can be some consultants out there and say, oh, the toilet is here, it's bad feng shui. But for me, there's so many different layers of feng shui that you can implement and practice that will also make a difference and make an improvement. So it's not like, you know, your house is jinxed forever. Everything is fixable. We're able to work with everything. But it's really just about, like, how deep you want to, you know, go with it. And again, just like that analogy of your house is like a person, you know, it has eyes. Like, when it has the windows are looking out into the world. So if the eyes are, like, if the windows are dirty, you can't see where you're going. You can't see what's coming at you. You may be experiencing lack of clarity, you know, like, and that's just one simple thing. You know, the front door is the mouth of your house. It's where the energy comes in. Where the energy comes in, that's how you feed it. So when we talk about energy, it feels like this intangible thing, but it is actually money, clients, opportunities, love. That's what you want coming in the door. But when it gets to the front door, can it get in? You know, is there a struggle at the front door? Is it hard to get the door open, you know, to get it in?
Nice. So let's do a little walkthrough, since you're already kind of starting like with the front door. Maybe I can kind of use my home as a little bit of a visual, because I actually have a little bit of a question about, you know, the toilet being in the money area or in the love area, you know, because I've heard things about your love or your money keeps going down the toilet, right?
And this is where you know, there's different schools of feng shui. So this is Compass School of Feng Shui, the one that I practice, and then there's the other one that uses the front door as the kind of main positioning. For me, it's the difference between, like, you know, fast food and beautiful, healthy, organic, dinner. You know, it's very different types of practices, but, you know, you call to and tune into the one that feels best for you. I love the idea that your house has its own individual personality. It's very specific, very customized. And that thing of, you know, your prosperity area is in the toilet. Like, is that, are you doomed forever financially? I've had loads of clients who are doing great financially and their toilet is in their prosperity area. The thing is, it's like, how do you make your toilet feel more prosperous? Like, how do you make it feel abundant? You know, I had a client who was unemployed. She, like, lost her job, was looking for a new job. Prosperity or is in her toilet. She bought beautiful fresh flowers. She got some posh soap. She, like, pimped up her towels, you know, freshened the whole place up and made it feel like a 5-star hotel, made it feel rich and abundant, you know? So there are things that you can do. It's not the end of the world. And it's more about, like, your perspective as well, in terms of, I like using feng shui to become the environment for your dreams and for your manifestations. So it's like almost like this missing link in manifestation. So for example, you know, you have an intention, you want to call in love. First of all, you set the space up for that. So you set up the space, you get the energy right, and then you do all the other work in terms of law of attraction, like the visualization, the journaling, you combine it. But if your environment, for example, your bedroom isn't supportive and there isn't space for love, like the seed of intention, the seed, you need to be planting it in a beautiful, fertile soil, not out on the concrete road. You know, if it's out in a concrete, you know, so that's what this is about. It's about making sure that the space is really supportive for your dreams and intentions.
Right, right. Ah, got it. So yeah, you can't have one without the other. You can't have the environment and don't have the mindset, or, you know, if you're not setting the intention, kind of bringing all the objects and things into the room. Because energy moves, you know, from the mental space to the physical space. So you have to have both. So that makes total sense.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah.
So walking through, let's just start like with a couple different rooms in the home. So, like, going back to the front door, what are some things that you can do at your front door or at the opening of your house? And does it really depend on, like, what it is you're trying to invite, or are there just some basic practices that you can do for your front door?
Oh, there's like basic practices. Clean your front door. Yeah. You know, it sounds like crazy, but, like, just actually the action of cleaning your front door and washing away anything that's come in that's negative in the past, welcoming in new energy. Like, I have stood at front doors that actually looks like there's nobody lives in them, because there's all cobwebs, the door hardly opens, it's like there's dead flowers outside, the welcome rug is all tatty. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, do you want things to come in? Are you trying to welcome someone in? Or are you actually like, no, we don't want anyone here? Like, even I have a client who had this, like, crazy experience in her house, because she moved a mirror and the mirror was reflecting a rug. Mm-hmm. And the rug said, never mind the dogs, beware of the kids. So first of all, I'm not a fan of these rugs that kind of like, or those like mats, like, you know, welcome to the mat house. Like I have gone to houses and I'm like, it is mad in here. And your rug is telling me like, is it like, which is which, you know? Yeah. But anyway, she had a mirror reflecting. She realized that she didn't realize what she was doing. But when she moved the mirror, her kids just started going crazy, bickering and everything. And she's like, what the hell is going on? And obviously she's one of my feng shui, in my feng shui community. I have everything online. So she's posting going like, I wasn't really sure what was going on. She walked around her house and realized that she had positioned a mirror that was now doubling the writing on the rug. And that literally the amplifying that. So mirrors are super important to realize, like wherever you position them, make sure you know what you're looking at and what it is you're, it's reflecting is amplifying and duplicating what you want, not what you don't want. Right. Literally, she once she saw it, she's like, that's it. And she took it out and got rid of the rug. And she's like, oh, back to normal. You know, back to
the kids. That's hilarious.
And the kids, I know.
Crazy. Beware of the kids. Never mind. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So clean your front door. Have a nice mat. What about colors? Does it necessarily matter about the color of your front door?
So when it comes to feng shui, there are specific colors for every house. And it's just like that. Feng shui is a very unique process. So there's some doors that will be, some elements that will be best for the front door and others, but it's actually specific to your house. Okay. So when it comes to this, like it's something that we give people in their personal report when we make it for their homes when they're in our program. But what I say to people is pick one that you love. You know, even if you haven't, if you, you haven't kind of invested with me yet or you haven't got that there yet, that's okay. Like, but pick something that you love. So at least when you walk to your front door, you're like, I love this color. I'm so happy. Do you know what I mean?
Yes. And that's then you important. Were saying, as far as like opening the door, because I know some people come in through the front door and other people come in through, you know, like a garage or a side door. Does that affect the feng shui or the energy of your home?
Yes. Oh my God. That's a great question. So your front door is the mouth. So if you're coming in a different garage door or that, you're not getting an opportunity to feed your home. So I would certainly say just even once a day, try and open your front door, try and get some energy into it. You know, just take a routine of like, I'm going to just come in and out the front door for one thing, or to go get the mail or something, rather than just coming in the garage all the time, and will make a difference for sure. Just in terms of like bringing that energy and air into the house as well, and just welcoming new things in.
Nice. Okay. Perfect. Because I know I have some friends and some family members too, who they always come through, you know, the side door, the garage door. And sometimes I'll ask them like, do you ever go through the front door? And I guess that could also, you know, show that do they use or don't they use the door if they've, you know, got leaves everywhere or they don't, you know, dust off the front mat.
Yeah, exactly.
Not using the front door.
Yeah. And what's so interesting is when you drive into the garage, like what's in the garage? Is it like dark? Is it gloomy? Is there loads of stuff in it? Yeah. You know, if you come in your front door, you want to open it up and be like, I'm so happy to be home. I feel so good. Like everything I see is lovely. Whereas if you're walking through a back door, I just know from my sister, she very rarely, I've told her, but she doesn't, they rarely use the front door. When I'm there, they use the front door, just like my mom.
With guests.
She always has the front door open for me. But they walk in and they just see like the kind of coats room with all the shoes and the coats and the laundry. And I'm like, oh my God, you just walk into like the most overwhelming part of your home. Like the rest of our home is so calm and peaceful. But it's like the bit, it's just like the part that you're like, oh my God, so much laundry. She has three boys under five.
Like, it's like, why do you walk in right there? Walk in somewhere else.
Just even for your like own mental like state. Like I want you want to walk in and be like, oh, I'm so happy to be home into my beautiful home, as opposed to like, oh, look, I have laundry to do.
Yeah, I've been telling my boyfriend that lately too, because when he comes over, he'll like leave stuff around, and I didn't even think about it, you know, in that sense that what I'm doing is re-feng shuiing my house. Whenever we get ready to go to bed or something, I'm always like, look, we have to clean up, because for me, it's my mental state. If I wake up and come into the room or the living area and I see blankets or bottles everywhere or something, it just kind of, you know, messes up my entire mental state for the day. And I like to come back to a clean space because, you know, it affects my mindset.
Totally.
So
yeah, for sure. And
okay, so front door, we've got that covered. What about, okay, so when you come in the front door and you have, like you were saying, like the foyer or the opening of your home, what should you have in that space, or what would be some good things to have there? I know you said something about making sure there's no blockages there.
Okay, so when you come into your front door, basically you want to make sure that your spirits rise and just tune into that, like open your front door and have a feel, like do your spirits rise or fall? How do you feel? And once you come into that space, look and see what is the first thing you see. Do you see some big load of piles of shoes and coats? And does it feel really overwhelming? And if that's the case, how can you sort it out? Is there some coats that you don't need there? Are they different seasonal things? Can you get a really nice container for you to put the shoes in? So you kind of feel like a little bit more organized and you're ready to come into a place that feels calm. What else do you see? What's the first thing you see? Is it a picture of you and your family that's really uplifting? Mm-hmm. Or is it just like loads of paperwork that's like all the bills? Really having a think about, how these anchors and things that you see repeatedly when you come in, the first thing you see is going to be affecting your energy every single day.
Nice. I have a question about lighting, because mm-hmm. I've been in some homes where I've come in the front door and the foyer has, all these nice little pretty things and it's organized, but sometimes the lighting is just kind of dark, dim, and dull.
Yes.
How does that affect the energy, coming into your home?
Lighting is really interesting. So it's a great question. Where places are dimly lit, it actually can reflect back into the person, into that part of the person's life. Every part of your home represents a different part of your life. So oftentimes if it's kind of dimly lit, maybe it's a part of your life that you don't want to shine, that you don't want to be seen. It can reflect like that. Other interesting things about lighting is often people can have issues with like light bulbs burning out. And that can mean being burnt out. It can actually represent being burnt out in your life and in your energy. So if you have like repeated things like that, it's like, your house is an external mirror of you. So if there's things going on, it's going to be mirroring back into you, into your life, into your health as well.
Wow. Awesome. Okay. So have some good lighting, have mm-hmm. some lighting pictures, and basically kind of like cut the clutter so that when you come in your home, you don't, see all that and take on that cluttered energy mentally.
Yes.
So let's see, leaving out the foyer, let's say the next room is the kitchen or the living mm-hmm. room. It's a main area.
So yeah, the main living area, there's not that much that I'm kind of like, things are like a no-no, but I would say, first of all, make sure that you do have some nice family photos in your living area where everyone comes together. Make sure you have some really nice images of where people come together. That's a really nice, important thing to have.
Mm-hmm. And what if you don't have photos? What if you just kind of have blank walls? How does that, affect your energy versus having the picture?
Blank walls are totally fine. I'm totally okay with that. I'm much more a fan of you having blank walls than having things on your walls that you don't like or don't feel good to you. So for me, I really want you to think about your home to be almost like a vision board for your future and where you're going. Mm-hmm. And this is like a way you can really look at everything. I've had clients have pictures on their walls that they're like, I don't even like it. I'm like, okay, well, why do you have it? I've had so many kinds of different pieces of artwork, and the power of art in your home mm-hmm. is so potent. For example, the first thing comes to mind is just outside a lady's bedroom. She showed me a picture of, it was like a woman walking into the fog. And I was like, oh, she goes, what do you think of this? And I'm like, well, it's quite a solitary image, and I wouldn't really recommend that many, especially for single women, I wouldn't recommend pictures of single people, because if you want to be in a relationship, we need to anchor in images and remind you of images of couples and things in pairs. So she said, actually, it was taken by my husband. We had just had a fight and he took this picture. Wow. And I was like, that's not a good picture to have, and it was like right outside their bedroom. And I was like, you have a picture that's anchoring in a huge argument that you just had, So thinking about like where the image comes from, what does it represent to you? Going on in the singles one, I had a client who had an image of it was kind of nuts. Her friend, she would go out with her friends, and her friends, she would be saying to them like, do I have mistress written across my forehead? Like, what is going on? It's only married men who come and approach me, blah blah blah, blah. Mm-hmm. For the 12 years that she was in her apartment until she joined my program, she never looked fully at the one picture in her bedroom, and it was a picture of a woman on her own painted by Van Gogh of his mistress.
Oh no.
I know. And this is where it gets super creepy and kind of crazy like that, because we had a picture in our bedroom that was of a couple that I really loved. And when I saw it, it reminded me and Ken and I of our first date. Mm-hmm. So I had this beautiful painting of the two of us. And he was like, I didn't pass too much notice of it, to be honest. I wasn't like, oh my God, look at the picture. And I never noticed what else was in the picture until a couple of weeks after putting it up, my friend came to visit and I was like, oh, look at my new painting, blah, blah, blah. She's like, oh, there's Marley. And between the time I put the painting up and she came to visit, I had just fostered a new dog and ended up adopting him that was identical to what the girl had on a lead in the picture. And I was like, oh my God. And it's like the exact same image. So our subconscious mind is taking in all the images that are up on the walls. And that's why it's so important to think about, like, well, what have you got up, say, in your living room, where you're going to have your family are all going to spend time together. You want that to be harmonious. You want to make sure the artwork in that area represents people together, having good times, like happy, you know, rejoice, or even if it's not your own family, but it's like artwork that kind of represents that, it would be really important. The other thing that it'd be something to kind of keep in mind in the living room is to make sure that you don't have your family photos over your fireplace. The fire element is very powerful. We feng shui is acupuncture of your home. It's the five elements. We work with fire, metal, earth, water, and wood. And the fire element is that vibrant red, but it's also it burns, it destroys. It's burning out. So having the picture of a family or family member or a couple over the fireplace, I wouldn't recommend, because that fire element can affect that and create disharmony in that part of your home.
Interesting.
And life
as
well.
People have that, you know, when you go into someone's home, they have the fireplace and then the mantle and all the pictures are on the mantle. I see that so often.
I know. And it's like and it's something that I always like, I kind of like keep myself quiet, because I'm like, yeah, don't tell people unless they've asked me to come and give them a consultation. But I have had an example where one of my own clients was visiting a friend of hers, and she had just redecorated her living room. And after a few glasses of wine, she shared, saying like, oh, like myself and my husband, we're not getting on as well anymore. Something seems to be going a little bit askew, blah, blah, blah. And my client said, when did you redecorate this living room? She's like, oh, around the same time that it's all gone mad. And she's like, that's what it is. Take that wedding picture up away from your fireplace. And she's like, that picture had never been over their fireplace. And it had just gone up that time. So it's quite interesting how it can really cause this kind of friction in your life.
That's interesting. Yeah, because I've never even thought of, you know, that. And now I want to think of, like, whose house can I go to and see that has pictures over the fireplace to see, you know, take them down and see if they, you know, have a change of energy.
I know. It's mad, isn't it?
That's crazy. So changing up a little bit, let's kind of talk about what each room represents. Because I know each room kind of represents, you know, different things in feng shui. Mm-hmm. Instead of me kind of just walking through the house, we can kind of chat about which rooms kind of represent what.
Yeah.
My favorite room, obviously, is the bedroom.
Yes.
You can start wherever you want to.
Yeah, so the bedroom. So if you think of, just in terms of that clarifying, because I did mention that there's two different schools of feng shui. One is the Western philosophy, which is very much around specific areas your house represents different based on where the front door is. The practice that I use is a compass practice. So each of the parts of your life represent different parts of your home, but every house is totally unique. So when it comes to the bedroom, the bedroom could be the health area. It could be the wealth area. It could be the money area, based on the compass readings. But for me, the bedroom is really, really important to just focus on three words: rest, romance, and relaxation.
Nice.
I've just been doing a challenge in my Facebook group this week, and it's been absolutely hilarious because they had to tackle the bedroom yesterday. Mm-hmm. And people I was like, you know, rest, romance, and relaxation. What does that mean? You know, no spiritual statues in your bedroom. You don't want them watching you when you're in bed. You don't want your children watching you while you're in bed. You don't want you know, you just don't want to be watched, you know? So that was a really interesting one. The other one was them finding like broken computers, old love letters, you know, all this crazy kind of business paperwork, divorce papers under their bed. Like you will not sleep with this kind of thing in your bedroom. So it's that sense of like your bedroom has to become a sanctuary. That's my recommendation for that idea of rest, romance, and relaxation. And when we talk about rest, it means, you know, no exercise equipment, no work stuff. You know, that's all exhausting and to do with work. It's just a very powerful way of, you know, we spend nearly like up to 8 hours and a day, you know, a third of our waking life is in our bedroom. So we want to make sure that it is 100% supportive of us. So nothing under the bed, that can really impact our sleep, our dreams, our health, in so many different ways.
Yeah, I'm really big on that. I'm still working on clearing out things under the bed. I don't have like, you know, a lot of clutter things. I may have some blankets or a suitcase.
Yeah.
But I try to keep that in mind too. Like, don't keep a lot of junk under the bed because it can affect, you know, your love life or, you know, your dreams and sleep and things like that. So yeah, that's really big for me. Keeping work out of the bedroom is
oh my God.
And the TV. I try to keep the TV out of the room too.
Yeah. And like, it's okay. Like some people are like, I have to have my TV in my bedroom. And I'm like, well, just cover it at nighttime, Like put a shawl over it, so it's not distracting you and reflecting you in bed.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure that's probably going to be an issue if I ever get married. Cause I'm pretty sure my husband's going to want a TV and I'm going to not want one. Like,
okay, you never know.
Yeah. So yeah, definitely. I agree with the bedroom. And you said it was rest, romance, and relaxation.
Rest, romance, and relaxation. Yes. So if you want to call in love, make sure you're thinking in pairs. Have a picture of a couple. You know, no single women images.
Right. That's so funny because I my relationship that I'm in now, I kind of did the same thing. I was like, okay, I'm going to call this person in and I'm going to start with my bedroom. I don't remember as far as how my home is set up, what area it is, but I was like, I'm just gonna, you know, make it look pretty and nice and have two of everything, you know, two nightstands, two sconces on the wall. And I went and bought some pink sheets, you know, pink is a good color for love. And so sure enough, it happened. I met a new person. And so, you know, I'm really excited that I was able to put some of these practices to good use and,
oh my God, you're a dab hand at it. I love it.
I did. And people always like, why do you have pink sheets? And I was like, I'm calling in love. That's why I have pink sheets. This is going to work. You guys are going to be so surprised when it happens. And then you're going to be asking me how I did it. So yeah, there's definitely some truth to that because I use those practices as well. So
yeah, it's so powerful. And I did the exact same to call in Ken into my life.
Mm-hmm. It's amazing.
It worked. It's amazing. Like so amazing.
So what about, okay, so the bathroom, I'm assuming my bathroom, I've always been told is, you know, the money area. And so people always talk about, you know, money flushing down the toilet and, you know, down the drain, or if it's in a love area that your love life could be, you know, going down the drain. So I know I've tried to do some of those practices of, you know, making it pretty. I try to keep the toilet lid closed down. And then I've also heard something about putting a mirror on the ceiling on top of the toilet.
This is exactly why I do Facebook Lives every single Thursday on my Facebook page, answering people's questions, because I get nervous of the stuff that's online and that's said. Yeah. And I'm like, oh my God, like, no. And like, I just want to make sure that people have the right information, if you know what I mean. So I'm so much more all about like, okay, well, so it's not to say, oh my God, that's terrible and don't do it. For sure in your bedroom or in your bathroom, there's a few key things. Keep your toilet seat down. I think sometimes it's nice when you think about the practicality of it. Like that's actually a good decision. Good, you know, just hygienically, it is a good thing. You know, a lot of things that I've said, probably like keep your windows clean, like get your door nice and easy to open. You know, these things are just like practical things as well. Like it makes sense.
Right. Exactly.
So that's where I'm kind of coming from mostly. And then in the bathroom, we want to kind of minimize the color blue. So you don't want lots of blue in there, dark blue. We want to minimize it. So you want to bring in, for example, more earth tones, because you want to keep the energy in and you don't want to have excess water element in that area. So that's one of the main things with the bathroom. Keep it clean, clean the toilet, so dirt. Keeping the toilet door closed. As I said, you know, if it happened to be your money area, bring some nice flowers in it, make it feel abundant, make it feel like you're like, oh my God, I have the nicest bathroom ever, you know?
Yeah, that's one of my other favorite rooms. The bathroom and the bedroom, those are my two favorite ones because they're the most intimate rooms, I think.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, definitely. I try to do that. I know I did read that online, but again, it wasn't something that I personally did. I just kind of, you know, like you said, you can get certain information online. But I know for me, I kind of just like to use my intuition. Like, does this make sense? Like, am I going to get on a ladder and try to put a mirror on the ceiling? And, you know, it was just too much intuitively. It just
didn't yes, work. Exactly. You're right.
So, yeah, it wasn't very practical in my mind. I'm like, I don't think I'm going to do that.
Mm-hmm. I hear you. And I agree.
Yeah. And then the kitchen is the only area that we haven't really talked about. What are some things about
the kitchen? So the kitchen, there's one or two main things that I'm a big fan of just keeping an eye out for, you know, so minimizing red in the kitchen. As I said, fire element, there's a lot of like heat already in the kitchen. So you want to reduce out the amount of heat there is and the amount of red. So that's one thing. So you want to keep down that element. I've had clients who've had like red kitchens and or red walls and, you know, have had a lot of anger issues in the house. Whereas when they painted them, it all just calmed down. Like, there's a lot more calmer, which is amazing. I also recommend keeping knives out of display. So oftentimes you can have knife blocks or knives on kind of metallic strips. Knives are weapons, so we prefer to not having those on display. So that's another just little teeny tip. And you can kind of see, I've had clients who've said that the, you know, arguments in the family have like reduced since they've taken the knives off the counter, you know, just put them, there's lovely drawers you can get on IKEA that slot the knives in and stuff like that that you can do instead. And then, you know, the kitchen is all about nourishment as well. It's about like your prosperity and ability to kind of nourish yourself. So, you know, keeping your stove nice and clean, in operating order, you know, no cracks, nothing broken. And today I had people like clean out their fridges and sort out their fridges, detox their shelves. And also like look at your cupboards, you know, do you have chipped plates? You're eating broken energy and having chipped plates.
Yeah, I'm so big on that. My family thinks I'm crazy because I tell them all this stuff, you know. I'm like, whatever you have in your home or you surround yourself with, that's the energy you're going to attract. And they think I'm crazy because I say stuff like that. Like, these plates are old, they're chipped, they need to go. This is what you're attracting, you know, into your life. And they just think, you know, that I sound crazy. But, you know, I'm like, this is how I keep my home. I keep things in order a certain way because there are certain things that I want to attract into my life. So, you know.
Yeah, and it's important. I think the other thing is, you know, you just have to do your thing. You know, I do my thing and some people are like, why did you do that? And I'm like, because of this. And then they're like, oh, and whether they do it or not. I've also learned that the things that I know and the information that I have, like, it's so powerful and potent. But it's none of my business what someone's house looks like if they're happy with it, unless they ask me for advice, you know, unless they've asked me. So that's a really big part as well.
And what I've noticed is most of the time they're not happy with it.
Yeah.
People come to me and they ask me like, well, how do you do this? Or what is this and that? And I'm just like, well, I mean, if you really want to know, I'll tell you. You know, my biggest thing is that I tell people like, if you live in clutter, then your whole life is probably cluttered. You probably have, you know, a lot of things going on. There's always chaos. And sure enough, you know, I'll go to some of these people's homes and it's like their homes are chaotic. And I go, well,
I know
why you have this chaos going on in your life. Your home, you know, this is an outer reflection of what's going on internally.
Oh, totally, totally, totally. And it's just fascinating. Like, it really is fascinating to me, because I've just seen it in so many different shapes and forms, and it doesn't matter It doesn't matter where your house is or what's going, or where your house is, what type of house it is. It doesn't need to be, you know, I've seen this also with houses that are, you know, beautifully interior designed houses, you know, that have energy issues, that have energy issues going on and things blocking their flow in their lives.
Right. That's been a big, I think that's one of my biggest fears, is that if I buy this brand new beautiful home that I designed for myself and the energy's not right, you know, then I'm going to be freaking out because I'm like, well, now what do I do with this house?
The best thing is that you that everything is fixable in terms of feng shui. I've never told anyone.
Right.
Excuse me, that they need to move house. You know, it's really more about everything is fixable. It's just, you know, there's many ways to get it aligned and supportive.
Mm-hmm. Now, what about like old homes versus new homes? Would you say there's more to do in an old home or more to do in a new home?
It totally depends. Like old homes, it also depends on like what's the energy going on, what's happened in that old home. You know, if you bought a house and there was like, it was in, I'm trying to think of the word, but, you know, if you bought it and there'd been like a fire in it, or there was been a divorce in it, or has been like lots of negative things happen in the house, like that for me is a huge red flag. And before you buy the house, I would be getting a feng shui consultant or me to check it out first and be like, yeah, not ideal, but this is what you'll have to do to make sure that it's supportive of you. Because literally from just moving in, things can start going pear-shaped. And I've had clients who have moved into houses where there's been a divorce before and they're a happy couple, and then they start like arguing and drama starts happening and they're like, what the hell? Because that energy is in the house energetically, and you can change it, but it just takes like work. You have to put the effort in to do that. So and often when I'm like buying or looking at houses myself, you know, we're like, what's the, why is this house for sale? Like, what's the story behind it? Like I remember speaking to one of my clients and she's just like, oh, the couple who sold us this house were so, they were so excited. They're like, this has been such a great house for us. We've had such a great life. Like, we're so happy for you to have this house. This has been our good luck house. And I was like, oh my God, this is a great sign. You know, like that's a great sign. So it's not about whether the house is brand new or really old. Like old houses have their own stuff going on with them, you know, different generations, different people living there, lots more people, lots more stuff, but it can still all be worked with. We've worked with houses that are hundreds of years old as well. So it's mostly just knowing that you can turn it around for sure.
Right. Nice. And this is kind of maybe a little off topic, but what about, have you had any haunted houses or energy, you know, homes that you went in and you just knew that something wasn't right about it?
You know what is so funny? Right now we are not in our own house, and I have a Ghostbuster coming on Monday because there's something going on, and I'm like, I've got all my feng shui in and there's just something a little bit off. And I do that work for people. Like I can do that work for people, but I want someone else to do it for me. And it's just that, like, you know, you always miss your own blind spots. You miss your own blind spots. And I was getting this kind of hit on this place and I'm like, this doesn't feel that great. And ever since we've had it, it's always had like a little bit of things going on. And I was like, oh, it's because we haven't had a chance to do all the feng shui in it because it's been rented out. And now we've gone in and done it for ourselves. I'm like, there's something more to this. So there is that element. And I do that work for other people. And I've trained in like lots of land healing and all of that work, which I absolutely adore. But right now for me, the thing is, I've seen so much huge success with feng shui. And oftentimes it's when a client comes to me via like wanting to work with me one-to-one, that there's something deeper going on. And I'm like, okay, I have to listen into this. And that's when I end up doing other work as opposed, like other kind of healing and energy work on the land, as well as with the house.
Right. I'd love to hear how that turns out for you.
Yeah. I'll have to keep you posted.
It's hanging around there. It's kind of, you know, keeping the energy off. That's interesting.
Exactly.
So let's switch gears a little bit and let's talk about, you know, business, just because, you know, I'm an entrepreneur, you're an entrepreneur. How can feng shui, you know, help us in like business practices? What are some things you recommend for that?
So I recommend definitely checking out, you're looking at your office from a place of, just looking at it from a place of how would I want this to look if I had clients coming to visit me? Mm-hmm. Because that's a very different mindset to, I'm going to take this tiny little corner in the sitting room or in the bedroom and squish my business in here because I don't need that much space and I can just kind of do my work. Mm-hmm. And this is a huge thing I see with a lot of entrepreneurs who especially work from home, that they don't kind of give their business enough kind of space and enough credence in their home to kind of be an important factor. So for me, it's important that you have like a desk. And if you have to work from your kitchen table, that's okay. But you need to have clear boundaries between your work and your off, you know, like, so whether it's at your kitchen table and during the day, you have a special kind of work set up. And then at nighttime, you take everything away, you put out some table mats, some beautiful flowers, like you change the energy of it. Same goes for, you know, your seating position. I'm a big fan of like making sure that you can see the door, that you have a wall behind you. I've so many clients and so many people I see online with like the door right behind them and they can't see the door and they're in this vulnerable position. I'm just like, oh my God, don't sit like that. So it's really, really great to give yourself an opportunity to just think, okay, if someone was coming here, like how would you want them to look at it? And the other part of that is the fact that you know, you want your space for your business to inspire you. Where you are working from is where you make your money, where you do your creative work, so you need to make yourself feel comfortable, supportive, and nourished. You know, you want your mind to feel nourished and focused on where you're going. I have found and seen bizarre things in people's offices, like yeah. children's toys, suitcases, tools, equipment, broken stuff, old documents from their old businesses, you know, study books and degree information from their past courses and work things and all of this. I'm like, oh my God, like this, none of this is relevant to you in your life. I have a client who was a Tony Robbins coach, and in her office, she had all these books of like Cordon Bleu chef books. And she used to be a Cordon Bleu chef. And I was like, do you want to do chefing anymore? She's like, no. And I'm like, okay, well, what are these doing in your office? Like, you're doing the coaching with Tony, as a coach with Tony Robbins now, you need to get those books, personal development books in. You need to have to see those. She was like, oh yeah, go figure. She took all those books out. And all of a sudden, what did she see? Uh-huh. A huge increase in clients. Yeah. She was like, oh my God, it's because that's what she was focusing her attention on.
Yeah. And I get it. It's an accomplishment. You don't want to forget about it or feel like, you know, you're hiding it, but at the same time, it's not your main focus right now. So that's the part that you need to kind of change right now.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Exactly.
Awesome. And so, you know, speaking of business, you know, one of the things that always comes up is about, you know, money. How do we invite, you know, what are some good money practices when it comes to business or, you know, setting your office up to invite, you know, money in? And I think clients are money too, but, you know, people ask me those questions too.
Yeah. So for money, a big part is going to be looking at, the actual prosperity area of your home, which is the southeast part of your home, mm-hmm. making sure it's clear of clutter and, you know, not having the bin there, making sure it's nice and clear and clean and easy. What else? Bringing some imagery that make you feel abundant in that part was great as well.
Awesome. And what about plants? I've heard about the money plant.
Yeah, you could totally bring the money plant in. Yeah, for sure. You could totally bring that in. And that will be great in the prosperity area or anywhere. I'm a big fan of plants, except in the bedroom. Mm-hmm. So the energy of plants is their growth. They represent upward growth. So they're great. I don't recommend cactus because they're a bit spiky. Cacti. They're very spiky and they push things away. I've had a client who literally took her cactus out of her bed, out of her living area. And she picked it up and brought it down towards the dumpster downstairs. And when she came back upstairs, her phone pinged at $4,000 unexpectedly into her bank account. Yes.
That's what I need. Not that I have any cacti in my home, but
yeah.
Sounds good. Awesome.
Yes.
Well, I'm definitely going to try most of these practices. Some of these things I have already kind of, you know, implemented into my life and my family's lives. But yeah, you've given me a lot of things to think about. So I'm excited to try a lot of this.
Yes. Brilliant.
So what offers do you have right now, or how can someone, you know, kind of start this feng shui journey with you?
Yeah, for sure. Well, people can come to my website at patricialohan.com. And there I have a guide, the 5 sneaky ways that your home is sabotaging your bank account, mm-hmm. how to fix them in under 5 minutes. And also I have a guide for people who are entrepreneurs to help you feng shui your office. So there's a step-by-step process of showing you things that you should do in your office to get you set up for success. I also do a weekly Q&A every single Thursday on my Facebook page, where people submit questions in advance, and you can come join me live or watch the replays of that. And just so I'm answering the questions, and I know you're getting a really good answer.
Nice. I'm going to have to go on there. 5 sneaky ways. Okay. Yeah. Because I think we all need that. Everybody's always asking questions about money. So, and you said in under 5 minutes. So that's perfect. Very practical and to the point. I like that. And then you said you're on Facebook, and are you on Instagram? What other platforms are you on?
I'm on Instagram at Lohan Patricia. I'm also on Pinterest, and I'm on Facebook.
Awesome. And do you have one piece of advice that you would like to leave our listeners?
My piece of advice is that your environment matters, and it's so, so, so potent in affecting what you are manifesting in your life right now. So whatever is showing up in your life right now, I would invite you to look around your home and see what you can release out of it to break space for new things, because it is definitely having an impact on it.
Awesome. I love that. Thank you so much, Patricia, for joining me today.
Thank you so much.
It's such a joy, and you gave us so many good tips and things that we can practice and bring to manifest new things into our lives. So thank you for joining us.
You're welcome. Thank you so much.
All right, guys, that concludes our episode for this week. I will leave all the details in the show notes, and I'll see you on the next episode. Bye.
Thanks for listening to Spiritual Shit You Need to Know, the podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, please go to iTunes, subscribe, and leave me a 5-star review. Don't forget to sign up for your free Millennial Life Crisis Guide at bit.ly/free-crisis-guide. And don't forget to follow the podcast on Instagram for more spiritual inspo at Spiritual Shit Podcast.